Welcome to the Tough Decisions Daily Show with your hosts, Dan and Danae Hanford. As entrepreneurs and real estate investors, we are faced with tough decisions on a daily basis. These tough decisions can either make us or break us. On this show, you will hear from highly successful people sharing their stories behind tough decisions that they have had to make along their journey of success. In every episode, you will be able to learn from the thought processes behind the tough decisions that were made. Some of these decisions will have amazing outcomes, and some, not so much. So without further ado, your hosts, Dan and Danae.
We have a very special guest with us today. This is the Tough Decisions Podcast, and you are here with your hosts, Dan and Danae Hanford. And I want to talk to you a little bit about a gentleman by the name of Jeff Greenberg. Jeff Greenberg has over 40 years' experience in management, staff supervision, development, and training. Since 2007, Jeff has been investing in multifamily and student housing assets in emerging markets across the country. As the CEO of Synergetic Investment Group, LLC, Jeff oversees all aspects of projects, including underwriting, acquisitions, investor relationships, contract negotiations, business systems development, business management, staff training, and asset management. Jeff also runs two REIT clubs in the Southern California area and enjoys helping others learn about real estate. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
All right, Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about your background as an entrepreneur?
Well, that probably started, I guess, about 10 years ago when I first got into real estate. I had no idea that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I was always a W-2 employee. And about 10 years ago, that's when it kind of started. I got interested in real estate and got the real estate bug.
As an entrepreneur, obviously as a W-2 employee, I'm sure you had some tough decisions to make. But as an entrepreneur, what are some of the tough decisions that you've had to make along the way?
Well, as a real estate investor or as an entrepreneur, there was always time commitment questions. Fortunately, and unfortunately, I guess, I started my real estate career when I was in my mid-50s. And so because of that, I didn't have to make decisions between a growing family and learning the real estate, which I know a lot of people with young families have to make that decision. My kids were grown with their own families, and that made it a lot easier. I was in the middle of a divorce, so I didn't have anybody to rely on that was pulling my time away except for myself. And so that part of it made it real easy. But typically, that's a difficulty of a lot of entrepreneurs, is a lot of things pulling them different directions. I did have the W-2 job at the time, which certainly limited the amount of time that I did have to dedicate to the real estate. And the real estate does take a lot of time. So that was probably, you know, one of the bigger sacrifices as far as trying to find the time to do the real estate, giving up a lot of things that I might prefer to do. But I was excited about real estate, and I was excited about the possibilities of bringing in a lot of money and, that advantage.
Well, many of our listeners, Jeff, are entrepreneurs right now themselves, and they are also real estate investors. But, you know, a lot of them are listening, and they're kind of in the same position that you were in as a W-2 employee. And they're trying to get out of that W-2 employee job so that they can actually become a full-time entrepreneur or a full-time real estate investor. So for those types of listeners who, where they are now is where you used to be, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, originally, I had a partner that was doing this full time, which made it a lot easier. But I would recommend, you know, finding somebody that has the same values, the same desires, and partner up. And that could be your spouse if they're on the same track with you. It could be somebody else that is able to help carry the load. And because it's difficult, it is very difficult as a single member trying to do this all by yourself. The investing in real estate and a lot of entrepreneurial endeavors are kind of difficult to do as one person. So I would find someone that to partner up with. It's great if it's your significant other. You know, that's something you're both on the same page with. But trying to do something like this by yourself while you're still doing a W-2 job is real tough. Real tough.
Can you think back from even when you were a W-2 employee, or maybe when you were in the transitions, or maybe where you are right now, of a story behind a tough decision that you were facing and maybe an outcome that really wasn't a very positive one, like maybe a negative experience, but you learned a lot of lessons going through that particular tough decision?
Well, I was sitting here making a list of all the tough decisions that I went through.
A list of them. Okay, great. This is going to be an hour long instead of 20 minutes.
This would have to be, you know, three or four hour broadcast. But now, okay, you said one that maybe I made the wrong decision. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well, there was one decision that comes to mind at this point where it was with my business partner. And this was a property that we were looking at in Houston. Everything had panned out. We had looked at the deal. The property was good. The numbers were good. And it came down to financing. And we had a mortgage broker that was going to be shopping the loan for us. But we also, it was a Marcus & Millichap deal. And so we told the Marcus & Millichap mortgage broker, you know, if he wanted to go ahead, you know, to see what he could get. And we figured, okay, so we had two mortgage brokers searching for a loan. Well, the Marcus & Millichap broker came back and said, gave us a term sheet. And we said, okay, well, we want to, and the term sheet wasn't bad, but we had our broker still looking for deals. And he said that the Marcus & Millichap broker had shopped just about anybody that he could think of. And when they do that, they lock you out. So my other mortgage broker was locked out, that he could not shop that same property to all these other resources that he had because the Marcus & Millichap guy already did that. And so here we were coming down to the wire where our money was going hard, our financing contingency was going to be up, and we had to rely totally on this one mortgage broker that was affiliated with the Marcus & Millichap. And I was ready to go at it. We were going to have about 52 grand going hard. And my business partner didn't want to do it. She was not ready to gamble her half of that 52,000 on this one mortgage broker. And we discussed it into the wee hours. And the way our partnership was set up, you know, that if we couldn't come to agreement, we went with status quo. And so it was kind of the agreement that if we couldn't come to an agreement, we didn't do it. And so we ended up walking away at that time and getting our earnest money back and just taking the loss of the, you know, the travel expenses and the inspection and all that. But, you know, it was a good deal. It was a great deal. And a year or so down the road, we ended up breaking up, and I was faced with almost an identical situation by myself because I wasn't working with anybody at the time, and it was my decision at that point in time, and I did go hard with 50-something thousand dollars based on a single lender, and we were successful at doing that, but at that time, I feel that would have been a great property. I still think it was a great property, but we ended up having to make that decision because of the partnership.
So was the mortgage broker the same? So Marcus & Millichap was the listing broker as well as the one shopping the mortgage?
Yes. The Marcus & Millichap was the listing broker, and you know they referred us to their mortgage broker in house. And my partner wasn't ready to put all of her money, you know, put our earnest money on him.
Yeah. How many units was it for? Do you remember?
It was like 54 units.
Okay. Okay. I
mean, it wasn't real big, but it was, you know, a fair size.
How much would you say you lost in that deal with it falling through with the airline and, you know, all the due diligence stuff that you'd already done?
Well, we probably lost a few thousand, maybe 3,000 or something from the travel. She's up in Alaska, so her flights are always expensive. And because we're, you know, a male-female team, we end up with more higher hotel expenses because every time we go somewhere, we have to have two rooms instead of one. So, you know, we probably lost about $3,000 or so around there. But it was better than 52, I guess.
Sure. So what do you do now to make sure that that kind of stuff doesn't happen again?
I'm the boss. I don't have anybody. I have to, I make the decisions. And it's my money. And if I'm willing to gamble my money, it's, I couldn't twist her arm to gamble her money. Mm-hmm. And I would put my money at risk more than I would ever put an investor's money at risk or somebody else who didn't feel comfortable. I always think about it. So, okay, what if I really put the pressure on her and convince her to do it and something goes wrong? Mm-hmm. And I sit there and think, you know, I'm going to have to live with that. And so it's kind of, okay, if I can't convince you, you know, if I couldn't convince her on her own, then it wasn't going to happen.
Right. So what about something maybe that you learned positive coming out of that experience? Anything that you do differently? I mean, you mentioned basically working on your own now. Earlier you had said it's kind of a good idea to start out. I guess starting out with a partner would have been a more positive thing, but then eventually on your own.
Well, I mean, as you said, starting out with a partner was great because we worked very well together for the most part. We were pretty much opposites. I'm more bigger picture. She's more detail. And I learned an immense amount from her because she was so detail oriented. She was an animal when we did the due diligence stuff. She was just awesome. And a lot of the stuff I do now, when I'm doing my due diligence and I'm looking through my due diligence list and everything, I'm always thinking, well, what would D have done? You know, and I think about, you know, oh, she's going to do this and she's going to do that. And it's just, it kind of resonates with me. And we always used to laugh about it because if it was up to her, we never would have gotten into any deals because she's so conservative. And if it was totally up to me at that time, you know, I might have gotten into bad deals. So we worked real well with each other because we usually came together in the middle.
And where did you originally meet her?
I actually met her at a real estate seminar. And actually, we did not become partners for another year and a half after we had met. So we kept hearing each other and bumping into each other. And eventually got on the phone and had a marathon conversation about, you know, our ethics and our values and where we wanted to go. And it was a long courtship before we decided to partner up.
Sure. Okay. Well, that was a decision that you said maybe had a little bit of a negative outcome. What about one where you faced a tough decision and now looking back on it, you see that it had a positive outcome for you, for your business?
Well, the one that I mentioned is where I did take the chance on that money and we did get the loan. So that was good. But there's been a lot of decisions. And the one I was just looking at my notes. There was one, we bought a property, a small student housing property, 36 units, and it was 48% occupied. And, you know, that's a lot of risk. But we went into that one with all cash. So the decision was, do we try to find financing on it, or I just raise all the money for the acquisition as well as on the all the repairs and maintenance that we were going to have to do on it. And that was a decision I made. I said, okay, hey, the price we bought it at and the money I had raised, it would take a lot for us to lose that money. Because without the debt service, what was going to happen? All we needed to keep the lights on. You know, we needed to pay the staff, but we didn't have to worry about a debt service. So that was a great decision. Because without a debt service, you could break even at maybe 60% occupied. And typically it's like a 75% occupied in order to break even if you have debt. Okay. So that ended up being a great, turned out really well. Yeah, well, it greatly reduced the risk.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, tell our listeners something that you like to do when you're facing a tough decision. How do you go about making that decision? Do you like to take a walk? Some people I've heard say, well, I just need to get away for a few days. If it's a really tough decision, what do you do to come to some kind of conclusion?
I don't know that I go take a walk or anything, but I'll usually just leave it lie there and, you know, maybe till the next day or something, or, you know, just to kind of let it cool off and then come back and look at it again and evaluate it. Typically, I do my best thinking at 3 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden I'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, oh, I know what to do. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm relaxed and I'm fully asleep. But all of a sudden, I'll wake up at 3 o'clock and I say, I got an answer for this.
There's somebody else that does that too.
I was going to say, I can't tell you how many times I've woken up in the middle of the night or can't go to sleep when I go to bed at night. And it's my wheels just keep on turning and turning about an idea or a decision that I have to make.
Yeah. I don't know how many times it's happened that I'll wake up and have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing to me.
An important strategy or a good tip that I've always found when, you know, I lay my head on the pillow at night and my mind's racing and I can't go to sleep. Normally what I'll do is I'll try to have a piece of paper or a pad or my iPhone or somewhere so I can take notes. Because a lot of times you sit down at night and you start thinking about all the things you did that day and all the things you have to do the next day. And a lot of times it's tough decisions. And so you kind of are thinking through some of those decisions. And so in order for me to be able to sleep, I write those things down. And so that I don't forget them and I can actually sleep, you know, because a lot of times you're going over the same thing over and over and over in your head. And you, unless you actually write it down and go, okay, I can deal with that tomorrow. A lot of times it just keeps you up all the night.
Yeah, I have had that where all the things going on in your mind. And if you just, by writing it down, you can go and let it go.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to forget it. So you keep those in your mind, but you just write it down. It is a lot easier to release it. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Jeff, do you have a book that you've read that has helped you more than another in your entrepreneur adventures?
You know, there's a lot of books that I've listened to on audio or read. You know, of course, most people have started out with, you know, Robert Kiyosaki's, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, that's kind of what got me going because I never, ever thought I was going to be an entrepreneur. And so obviously that one was one that got me on that path. I really like the E-Myth. Because I'm constantly trying to systematize and pass off a lot of responsibilities. You know,
love that book.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing is, you know, working on your business instead of working in your business. And I'm constantly trying to figure out how I could take one piece or another to hand off to somebody else, to train somebody else to do, and to pull myself out, become the CEO and let everybody else do the rest of the work. Yeah, so those are very important books. The other one that I just read recently, well, I didn't read it. I listened to it because the thing's a monster book. Ray Dalio's Principles. I guess he was trying to figure out how to keep his legacy going. And so he wrote, basically, this was a manual kind of to his team on his philosophies and his methods. So he put it in this massive book on the running of the company and his principles and what he, you know, how he ran the company. And it's a pretty awesome work of art.
So I have three final quick questions for you, Jeff, as we wrap up the call here. The next thing is one of my favorite questions to ask. And it's, what is the most exciting thing that you have done with the money that you have made as an entrepreneur?
I'll have to say that for the most part, the money's reinvested back in. So I don't know how exciting.
Has it enabled you to take any like a really nice trips or, you know, anything like that, or paid off your house or paid off your car or done anything crazy like that? Or you mostly just try to reinvest it?
I could go. I mean, I went out and bought a car for cash, you know.
That's nice.
That's always nice. I mean, I bought myself a little sports car, but you know, that's a business expense. I need that.
What did you get?
I just got a Lexus IS.
That's nice.
IS 250.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't need anything fancy, but buying it for cash is just the way I would prefer to do things. But the other thing that I was able to do that I'm pretty happy about, the last Christmas, I decided I wasn't going to go buy any toys for my grandkids. I didn't want to go into that whole scene because these kids have way too much in the way of toys and they way too much in the way of clothes. So I was closing on my Tucson deal in the end of December. And so I decided to buy each one of them a single share in the property. So four of my grandkids own a share of the entity. And I'm hoping that's going to be part of their education as far as, you know, that. But that was something I wouldn't have been able to afford. I mean, to go and buy them shares of it. If nothing else, I want to educate my grandkids. You know, I'm working on my kids too, but it's the grandkids that I think I might have the best chance at.
How many grandkids do you have?
I have four grandkids.
What are their ages?
Let's see, 10, 9, 5, and 3.
Now, do they understand what you bought them?
the 10 and 9, I sat down with them and talked to them about it and explained it and, you know, as best I could. The 5 and 3 have no clue. But the thing is, I'm also trying to play some educational games with them, you know, Cash Flow 101, and I got another one called Millionaire Maker. Also, my oldest granddaughter wanted me to give her some money to go to summer camp. And I said, okay, let's see what you can do to earn that money. I mean, you know, I've got the money I could give to her, but that's not going to teach her anything. So we made up a chore list of all the things that she gets to do for me, you know, washing my car, mowing the lawn, you know, whatever else, where she can earn that money to go to camp. I mean, I'm still coming up with the money, but I want her to go through the process.
Have her learn those principles of how actually earn that money.
Absolutely. I mean, if I gave her the money, she'd learn nothing from it.
Yep.
So she's working away, earning the money and trying to get that to go to camp. So, you know, that's something I'm able to do now that, you know, I probably could have done it back then, but it's a lot easier, you know, when I've got this extra money around. And I've given loans to some of my kids, you know, to try to get them out of credit cards. I don't give it to them for free, but I'll give them a lower interest than their credit cards are, you know.
Sure, sure.
Help them pay off their credit cards a lot faster.
What would you say is the number one item on your bucket list?
I want to do more traveling. I would love to do some more traveling with my grandkids, at least the older ones for right now. The younger ones, they have to bring the parents along. The 10 and 9-year-old, two girls, I've told them, I said, where do you want to go? Let's go, you know, the three of us, let's go on a trip. They want to go to England. So I don't think that's going to be this trip, but I may take them out to Disney World or something. But that's the thing is I want to enjoy the time I can spend with my grandkids. I want to have the funds to do it, to enjoy them. I mean, right now, you know, I mean, I could stop right now and live my life, but I want to help them out. I want to make life a little bit easier for them. Not that I'm going to give them money. I want them to earn it. I want them to learn how to earn it. But that's the main thing on my bucket list is just having fun with my family.
Experiences with the family, because they're going to remember those memories more than they are your money.
Absolutely. And that's so important. You know, I want them to get the education that I didn't get as far as, you know, handling money and, you know, deferring gratification, you know, saving money now, investing that in something else. And then it's going to, you know, be a lot more valuable in the future. You know, I mean, you still could have fun, but don't spend it all. You could spend some money, but invest other money, you know, investments in something in themselves. That's going to be more of my legacy, you know, that they'll appreciate someday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast with us today. We're really excited that you were able to take the time out of your schedule. I know you're a really busy guy. And how can the listeners, you know, reach out to you if they have any more further questions for you, or if they want to, you know, kind of find out more information about you and maybe, you know, do some work with you?
They can get a hold of me. My email address is jeff@synergeticig.com. And that's synergeticig.com. I'm also fairly active in Bigger Pockets. They can get a hold of me there. Also, my website, which is www.synergeticig.com, the same spelling. They can always reach out to me that way.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for being on the podcast with us. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And until next time.
Do you want to nominate a highly successful entrepreneur or real estate investor to be a guest on this show? Email us at dan@toughdecisions.net. Help us by spreading the word about our show with your friends. And also take time right now to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite platform. You've been listening to the Tough Decisions Show.